What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We are joined now by my brother, my comrade, my friend, George Galvez, co-founder and executive director of Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice, or CURJ, here to talk to us about community response and readiness to the federal invasion. Good morning, George.
Good morning, my sister from another mister. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so it's a pleasure to talk to you, my G. Before we forget, I'm actually going to play your hero clip in a second, but I'm interested in your take. I really appreciate Gustavo, and he's a great columnist. I would say that we're both to the left of him. Your thoughts about this redistricting business?
Man, you know, it's a tricky business, you know. On the one hand, you know, we know what's going on. What I want to actually kind of say is I think a lot of times people think, even when we vote, because of just the way things are kind of set up structurally, the way money really fuels campaigns, that it's kind of a cop out sometimes. People, you know, there's a lot of folks who, you know, I got friends who are like, man, why even bother, right? And when we also just see that there's corruption at the highest level, so whoever we vote for is compromised, right? But I think I look at things differently these days, that I'm not voting because I endorse that candidate. I'm voting for who I'm choosing to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, do I want to fight this one or do I want to fight that one? And at this point, like, all rules are kind of off the table. The threat of, you know, the threat of fascism isn't even just a threat any longer. It's here.
Yeah.
It's confronting us. And so I think that, you know, I got to support, you know, kind of the by any means necessary. But to the point that I did here is, like, no one should ever be confused and think Gavin Newsom somehow is our hero. Because Gavin Newsom, like, those of us who recall when he was on the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco and how he became mayor, like, let's be real. Mayor Newsom won because the DNC stole the election in San Francisco for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Folks might recall his opponent at the time was a very progressive Board of Supervisor, you know, who was very popular. And he decided he was to the left of the Democratic Party and decided to switch up to the Green Party, right? And at that time, the DNC felt so threatened because of kind of the Nader Raiders that they used all their power. They flew in Bill Clinton. They did everything they could. And at the end of the day, what they found was a whole bunch of ballot boxes from the Bayview Hunters Point and from the Mission District dumped inside Lake Merced that were never actually counted. And we knew very well that those districts were not supporting Newsom. And that's how he became mayor of San Francisco. And the rest is kind of history that's written. So when it comes to gerrymandering and it comes to even election stealing, like, I don't think the DNC has a problem with it as long as it's favoring them. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we should just be very aware that, you know, we shouldn't misplace any kind of idealism and think that, you know, Gavin Newsom is going to be our hero. But I do think that we need to support redistricting. And I do think we need to kind of take the by any means necessary approach and strategy to basically get rid of this fascist. And then I'm going to choose to fight, you know, probably somebody else. But, you know, my expectation,
we got plenty to choose from.
But that's the way I look at my vote. Who am I choosing to fight?
I could go down a rabbit hole. I'll have to bring you back because we'll never get to what you're actually here to talk about. So over the weekend, right, I believe it was August 23rd, I'm trying to bring the flyer up in my head, your organization, Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice, holds an event. Set the scene for us, and then we're going to play what I'm calling the George Galvez hero clip.
Oh, man. First of all, I mean, thank you, but, I'm really kind of shocked that it hadn't, you know, as much interest as it did. But, you know, in a nutshell, for the past 4 years, you know, CURJ has been engaging in a strategy called Town Nights to really build positive community connection and do outreach during some of the months that we know it gets, you know, hottest on the block, right? And that was like during the holidays where we see increases in crime, we see increases in intimate partner and family violence, we see, because, you know, people are realizing the things that they don't have, it really kind of compounds people who are struggling from being isolated, detached, all those kind of things. And during the summer months, we generally see an increase of things kind of popping off sometimes on the block as well. And so, this was a strategy that was also evaluated, and there's empirical evidence to show that it decreases violence during these times, right? We saw, I think it was about a 30% decrease in the times that these kinds of events were happening. And so, we made it really clear when we started kind of, just to be really clear also that this is a strategy that came from the city of Oakland, right? And it was something that had been tested in Los Angeles, and then it was kind of brought over, imported over here to Oakland, California. But we have our own flavor, right? And, some communities, they might choose to kind of approach it in a different way. We made it very clear that in order for us to be effective, to be impactful in everything that we do, and this is including with Town Nights, but in everything that we do, that we can't be at the table with law enforcement, right? Like law enforcement is, it basically undermines our ability to be able to do our job effectively. Mm-hmm. Like if we're really trying to reach out to the people who are in most need of support and sort of that positive community connection engagement, like most of our folks on the streets, most of our folks who are forming car shooters, most of our folks, have had such negative interactions with law enforcement. When they see police, that's like, man, I'm up. I ain't trying to be around there. Interaction with police is generally seen as like kind of like, that's how you get a snitch jacket. You know what I'm saying? And people don't trust folks with those kind of jackets on them. Right. And unfortunately, we see a lot of folks in this nonprofit industrial complex who are so eager to just kind of be at the table. And it's sometimes police, the city and, the folks who control the resources that they're more than happy to kind of compromise integrity and even their impact, the impact that they can have, by bringing law enforcement to the table and parading them in their events, turning their events into these photo ops, right? So we've been very, very clear for the last 4 years at every event, we've never, ever had any law enforcement show up. But lo and behold, this Saturday, we have a back to school Town Nights event right there in the Fruitvale, at Fruitvale Plaza. Really, really cool event, very chill event. You know what I mean? It was just like a little over 400 people, backpack giveaway, free food, lots of goodies, a time to build community, particularly in, the neighborhood that we know is most representative of our quote unquote immigrant community, right? Yeah. At a time when fear is very, very real. And very intentional, right?
Yeah.
And so, anybody with a badge, anybody in a uniform, anybody with a gun is intimidating and can scare away our community. So, I was livid, you know what I mean? And I got reports, and apparently three of my staff on three different occasions had approached them and basically asked them what they were doing there and if they could go. And they pretty much were kind of just brushed off. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I probably should have do this after the clip. I'm going to say that I got LA listeners. So I need the Los Angeles listeners to understand this is a longstanding tradition for a lot of organizations, including mine. The cops aren't welcome at our events. We have our own security teams. We do our own. NOPD knows this. Like they actually know. Like we've got that, our massive King Day event. They don't even bother to send them anymore.
That's
because
right.
They know we're going to tell you to go home. So, and after we hear the clip, I'll tell you why I think it's gotten so much attention, even though this is, standard practice for us.
Right.
To your point, the political conditions have shifted. Let's roll that tape.
And what about the other guy around the corner? He's leaving too? For sure.
Sorry,
That's Mario Gonzalez and Oscar Grant.
A little difficult to hear. Folks can go on Instagram to Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice or Courage's page where they have it. But basically, you see George, you going up to the cops and it's, you know, and telling them they got to go, and their response is, well, you know, well, we're here to protect people, basically. And you talk about there's no difference between, you know, you saw in Los Angeles, LAPD assaulting protesters that were in defiance of the brutal ICE raids, and there's just no differentiation between them and the feds. And I believe you even asked them, like, right, like, if ICE shows up, are you gonna draw your guns on them? And they leave. I think it got so much attention, George, just because of that. I think that folks are feeling, and I'm talking broadly, right? Like they don't know what to do, right? That we're entering into a period of time in this country that folks can't even fathom. And I actually don't think, outside of those of us that have been studying politics and really overstand this beast that we've been fighting for most of our life, I don't think people really even understand what's actually coming. But I think when we see folks stand up to the beast, I think right now people really need that. I mean, even, I almost cussed. Real spit, I opened Instagram because I was looking for it, and Oakland Crime Shorts, which is like this vile, awful, horrible account on Instagram. Yep, I'm calling them out on my show. Vile, awful, horrible. They lift up that whole crime narrative. They have that. That was literally the first thing that popped up. They played it with no commentary. So I think universally folks are so right, because I think this is the time. This is like a no permanent friends, no permanent enemies moment, right? I think we're all really clear that we don't want the National Guard or the feds here. And I think we're also really clear, and I'm going to shut up and let you talk. We're also really clear here in Oakland, right? So what I've been saying, I think you'll appreciate this. People are like, you think they're really going to come to Oakland? I say, absolutely. I said, when you're trying to establish dominance in a new neighborhood or, you know, in jails or prison, you hit the biggest mother in the mouth. We're the biggest mother, right? We're the biggest one. And so I have no doubt that they're going to come here and attempt to hit us in the mouth. But Oakland, with all due respect to anyone else, that any other cities that has resisted, Oakland ain't nowhere else, right? It's going to be a different game here. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, well, yes, it's definitely going to be a different game. You know, anybody who don't know, you better ask somebody, right? And I will also give salute and shout out to our comrades in Los Angeles, you know, as the first city that was invaded. And, you know, what we saw, too, was just how much the media mischaracterized what was really going on. There's still a lot of just misconceptions and misunderstanding of what actually took place. You know what I mean? Because the funny thing, man, is it was a relatively small group of protesters, you know what I mean, in L.A. And they were all real chill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what you people saw were these scenes of all of a sudden, like, flash grenades and, you know, tear gas and all these kind of images. But those images were created by who? It was created by the occupied military forces. You know what I'm saying? By the occupied army that was coming in. And then people label it. It's kind of similar to the same way that we see the sort of the Zionist social order continue to call this a war. You know what I mean? When it's not a war, it's a genocide. It's like, let's be real. Let's characterize it accurately. Right. And in similar ways, they were characterizing what was happening in Los Angeles, and they create violence, and then they characterize it as violence when it's really one-sided. It's no different than the same people who we celebrate, which is why I applaud and love so much that you and others have been reclaiming the radical legacy of Dr. King, because it's like, it ain't necessarily soft to be nonviolent. You know what I'm saying? And to be quite frank, if I thought there was a more viable strategy, I'd be doing whatever strategy I thought was going to have the most impact. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, for the times and for the landscape that we're in, the power of nonviolence is critical to our movement. And I think people should never ever mistake too that nonviolence is not necessarily like protecting a window or a Waymo or something like that.
Not a Waymo, George.
Right? We're about protecting lives. We're about protecting people. You know what I'm saying? And making sure no further harm is being perpetuated. And it's about creating blockades to make it difficult, obstructions to make it difficult for them to come and snatch up our relatives. You know what I mean? In these attempts to illegally deport them, and everything's been thrown out the window. So it's like this whole idea of like us being able to like even rely on the concept of liberal legal jurisprudence and being able to kind of get some kind of. Like, I think for years, black and brown folks have all said that it's not a justice system, it's a just us system, right? And now it's so explicit and it's so clear that we can't even, that the courts, there's really no place that we're going to be able to really protect our people except we keep us safe on the streets, right? And so, and that means those of us who have some privilege, putting our bodies on the line, locking arms, that means court watching, you know what I mean? And there is a role for legal advocacy, but I think it's important that people just know the limitations, just like there's a role for, as far as I'm concerned, for voter engagement and electoral politics. And also I know I ain't gonna get free through electoral politics. It's a limited strategy.
I you got 60 seconds for final words. I'm not even gonna ask you a question. Your words to the people, 60 seconds.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just say, as I said to you earlier, I was a little surprised that it went viral. To be honest, I asked one of my staff only to film the engagement because I wanted receipts and I was thinking that I could potentially get arrested depending on whether or not things escalated. And I just wanted to have my evidence, right? We always say FTP, which stands for multiple things, including film the police. And my staff person said, well, we should probably put this up. And I was like, really? I didn't think it was anything exceptional. But to your point, I think it does resonate for people right now, particularly in this moment. And that's why I'm proud to call you my comrade. I know we're prepared here in Oakland. Oakland is epicenter. I think we do things a little bit differently. And so things that are normalized for us, I think can be considered unique in many other places. And even among some of the so-called mainstream, I guess, you know what I mean? But we got to continue to push back and create safe spaces conducive to providing authentic community safety in our spaces, in our community spaces. And that means no police. And that means we keep us safe.
George Gavis, thank you so much for joining us. You'll be back.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.